RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
No more heat wave, Val.
Hey, and Beans, I am in the same state as you.
It's isn't it a beautiful, overcast, kind of cool day?
Yeah, you know, yesterday was sweltering, but I'll be honest with you, it wasn't much different than my hometown.
I loved it. I had a great time this weekend. I was nervous about it, but I had a good time. I limited my exposure to the sun on Saturday, but yesterday I worked out in it. I sunned myself a little bit. It was good.
Yeah, it was very moist outside. That word is a word that my husband despises, moist.
Lauren hates it too.
We say it all the time just to mess with each other. Lauren hates it probably for the same reason that Will does.
She hates moist, and she also hates the word panties.
I hate that word too.
Can't say those words around her.
I hate it when people call them that. It's underwear. For goodness sakes, people, get with the program.
It's undergarments.
Well, I mean, if you want to be like from the 70s.
Remove your undergarments.
You know what's funny? I can't tell this story. Never mind. One day. I'll have to get permission from the person involved before I tell the story that I was going to tell just now. But it's cool to be here. I'm excited to see you on Thursday.
Thursday will be great.
Yeah. And I have a very, very, very busy week. You guys will see as it unfolds what's going on. But I'm excited about it, and Uncover DC is doing really well, and it's off to the races, Frank.
Indeed it is. Now, let me ask you something. This might be rhetorical, but when I ask this, there's always a part of me that says to myself, maybe I missed something. The Associated Press has shared this morning, here's a headline, you have Jerry Nadler wearing one of his famous funeral home suits. And I have a headline over here, Nadler, colon, Mueller hearing to air evidence of Trump wrongdoing. Now, Tracy, can I please ask you a question? I know that we just had a 2.5 year investigation that wrapped up a couple of months ago, and inside of that report there was no evidence of the treason. They went out to see if it was committed. Well, how is it, or is there ever, what do they mean that months after an investigation that turned up nothing concluded, we are now going to see evidence that was never before seen? What is this? Is this like the Beatles anthology? Never before heard tracks? What is this?
You know
this?
What I don't understand? I don't understand how they think, like, in other words, they put this out to kind of like fire up their base and get them like, ah, he's guilty. You know what I mean? And then it doesn't last. Like, this short-term emotional gratification from thinking there's something lasts for maybe 3 days, and then it goes away. And it's like they're like consistently demoralizing their base over and over and over and over again. What could they possibly have?
I don't know. I wish I had an idea, because I don't know. It's just so weird.
Let me just see. I didn't see this come across today. So Jerry Nadler says Trump committed high crimes and misdemeanors. Listen, I am not laughing. I'm laughing at this point out of sheer, oh my gosh, look at this man. I'm laughing at this point out of sheer amusement. Former special counsel Robert Mueller's report about wrongdoing in the 2016 election provides, quote, very substantial evidence that President Donald Trump is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors. Jerry Nadler told Fox News Sunday, we have to let Mueller present those facts to the American people and then see where to go from there, because the administration must be held accountable and no president can be above the law. Didn't we see that stuff already, Frank? Didn't that come out? Wasn't that the report, this monstrosity of a nonsense report that, you know, excluded exculpatory evidence and lied about all kinds of different things and didn't tell people who intelligence assets were? And, you know, we had our favorite clip about Kilmanick We had all kinds of amazing. Hope Hicks didn't even know who the ambassador to Russia was the day of the election. I mean,
and now, of course, we know that the entire thing that first of all, James Comey committed a high crime just to get this thing launched. He committed high crimes just to get this thing launched. And prior to that, we now know that the foundation upon which this entire thing was built there's nothing there. It holds a strainer holds water better than the dossier does.
Well, you know, listen, this entire thing went. I was saying this the other day. We talked about this Friday. I'm in New York. My accent's coming out like, whoa, it's crazy. I went to order coffee this morning and I'm like, can I have a coffee? Coffee with 2 mil. Oh, goodness.
You revert back. It's like you relapsed.
I did. It came out like it's crazy. We were talking about this the other day. How I don't remember what I was going to say.
The crazy thing is that it doesn't even matter. When I see stuff like this, I feel like I'm going nuts. It's like, wait, didn't we just finish this? And
I remember. Sorry. I got to say it before I forget. Jim Comey and all this stuff, like all of the nonsense that's been going on with all of this, like the entire thing, it's all built on, like, it went away for a long time, Frank, right? This is what I'm trying to say. It went away. We haven't talked about Spygate in quite a little while, right? There's been a lot of other things going on. There's been a lot of other high profile arrests of pedophiles and everything else. And we kind of put Spygate in the back burner. We stopped talking about the FISA report that's incoming. We stopped talking about all this stuff. We're not getting any leaks out of Durham. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, it's like all of a sudden this is back in the news again because of Mueller, and they postponed it. Like, I almost feel like because it's supposed to come out at a time when something else is coming out to try and distract from it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's no other reason. And I think that's what gets me so upset is that you can tell that these are, I wouldn't say dumb people, but they don't have a lot of options left. And they are making very obvious juvenile choices as to how to proceed. And to look at old men and women, you think that with age comes wisdom. To see old men and women commit themselves to such juvenile tactics, knowing that there are tens of millions of people out there that know they're full of shit.
Yeah.
And they do it anyway because they have to eat up time and they have to pivot to the next thing because they've already cast their lot, and that these are just people who are being compelled to act this way because they cast their lot in a certain way. It's so frustrating, and you just want to slap them in the face.
Did you see Comey's piece that I don't even want to call it a piece? I was like, what? I'm reading this Comey thing about what he would ask Mueller. Did you read that by chance?
Oh, you know what? I didn't read it, but I went to go visit my grandmother-in-law, and she was watching Hannity. And I for a couple of seconds, I'm sitting there on the couch, and I heard that he had submitted questions to ask.
He wrote a thing for Lawfare blog, which you might as well write for the deep state. And then, you know, it's like almost his way of getting things out into the ether. But the way this is written is really weird because it almost comes across as rushed and the questions are just asinine. It's almost like he just had to put something out there just to put it out there. So it was on tap for me to go through. If they, you know, if you want, we can just go through it because these questions are crazy. So he says, if I were a member of Congress with 5 minutes to question Robert Mueller, I would ask short questions drawn from the report's executive summaries.
The executive summary. Okay.
All right. So volume one, Russia. That's what he calls it. Did you find that there were a series of contacts between the Trump campaign and individuals with ties to the Russian government? Page 5.
Did you find that Trump was talking to anybody that had social media accounts?
No, but I mean, you're right in that. But that question is just asinine.
Especially since you're talking about an intergovernmental political investigation. Everybody has ties to everybody. These are people who stand by globalism as a credo. Well, aside from globalism, there is globalization that has happened first. Globalization is what gives us phrases like you know, how does that impact the price of rice in China? Everything is connected. Everybody is at least a degree and a half of separation from each other. So it's such a an awful, obtuse question to ask.
I find it so interesting that we looked at this completely differently. I agree with everything that you just said. I looked at this from a different standpoint. It is an asinine question for all those reasons, but it's also an asinine question because what is the purpose of it? That's what the report does. Like, it's why are you even asking that question? Like, it is the most basic of ridiculous questions. Like, the entire reason why they did this was to see if there were any contacts between the Trump campaign and individuals with ties to the Russian government. So why even bother asking that? Like, what do you want them to say? I don't understand the purpose of the question. We'll just move on to two. There's only a few of them because this looks like he wrote it in his sleep and then barfed it out and like stuck it on a piece of paper. Ready?
Yeah.
In particular, did you find that a Trump foreign policy advisor learned that the Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton in the form of thousands of emails? What? This is just like, is he just trying to reinforce the nonsense of Papadopoulos over again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He did. Does he go as deep as to asking about the ties of the person whispering in his ear?
Oh yeah, it's gonna it just kind of expands on the whole reason why he says they started Crossfire Hurricane. It's basically a CYA for Jim Comey is what this is. The next question is what you're saying. Did you find that the Trump foreign policy advisor, who he obviously can't name for some reason? I mean, why aren't you naming the person that you're talking about? Are you worried about a lawsuit, Jim Comey? What?
Because Trump foreign policy advisor sounds it hits harder than George Papadopoulos.
Yeah,
I guess he can combine the name with the title, but to leave out the name, because you have to understand George Papadopoulos, his crimes have already he's already served his time for his crimes, and it was a measly 2 weeks. Anybody that looks at George Papadopoulos with their eyes open knows that, okay, well, if this was the road to treason, why the hell did that only take us 2 weeks to clear up what's been done here?
Oh,
there's
Lord.
Nothing. There's nothing there. So if you forget his name, people might actually think it was somebody else. It's just a Trump foreign policy advisor. Oh, my God. Who is this? Did we know who this guy was?
I thought Trump didn't have any foreign policy advisors. Okay, so I'll finish the question. Did you find that the Trump foreign policy advisor said the Trump campaign had received indications from the Russian government that it could assist the campaign through the anonymous release of information damaging to candidate Clinton? Do you remember when the Mueller report came out? I said that is the first time we have ever heard them say that it was indicative of Russia talking to them, trying to help them disperse the supposed damning emails they had. And everyone else didn't really pick up on that and didn't really think it was important. And I was like, guys, I'm sounding the alarm here.
Yep.
Just say yes. It doesn't matter. Yep. All right. Did you find that the senior members of the Trump campaign met with Russian representatives at Trump Tower after being told in an email that the meeting was part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump?
But you see, this whole thing about the Trump Tower meeting from the beginning was that Don Jr. should have just considered the optics. The meeting itself was not illegal at all. He was dumb for taking the meeting just because he should have known the political machinery he was up against. He just should have known that. The meeting was fruitless, number one. And number two, it was not illegal at all.
And it was
It
was Glenn Simpson, Frank. I mean, it was Glenn Simpson and Natalia Veselnitskaya, and Glenn Simpson met with her the day before and the day after, and they left that out of the Mueller report completely. Not even a peep about it.
But you see, Tracy, it's all about what they can crop out. Just like last week and the week before's outrage over Alex Acosta. Yes, he gave Jeffrey Epstein a sweetheart deal, but they cropped out the fact that there is something else in play here that stifled a state and federal investigation. What was that mysterious force?
Yeah.
You know, they crop out everything and they try to give you this little freeze frame image.
Even the freeze frame isn't honest.
Yeah, well, they have nothing. Like I said, they have no plays but bad plays. They have a very bad hand right now.
Oh, goodness. I'm just reading this. It's making me grossed out. The next question. Did you find that despite the fact that candidate Trump said he had nothing to do with Russia, his organization had been pursuing a major Moscow project into the middle of the election year and that candidate Trump was regularly updated on developments?
Up until the day that he is inaugurated, he could be pursuing interests of private business interests. Or is it the day that he becomes a president-elect?
It doesn't really matter because that's really a moot point, only because he stopped doing it in the summer. So it doesn't even matter.
I know. But even though it was what, June, it all stopped? 2016?
Yeah.
June or July?
It was early July. And you know, to be quite honest with you, this is just an attempt to parade out the same damn talking points they've attempted to use the entire time this has been going on, and nobody buys this shit anymore. Excuse my French. Keep going.
Yeah, well, nobody buys it who's been really trying to figure out what's going on here, but it does have sway that a former FBI director, just like a former CIA director, are willing to go on the record out of desperation, when many of us know it's out of desperation. They are willing to go on the record to say these things and bring them back up to the average lollipop sucker out there. They think, well, this has to be important. Then
reading the 600, whatever, however many pages that Mueller report is, right, as the former FBI director, and coming up with these softball nonsense and the next one propaganda filled questions speaks to the caliber of the people that we were putting in positions like FBI director in this country, because this is a weak, pitiful display of intelligence right here.
If he gets anything less than 25 years with no chance of parole, even though there's no way to put onto that no chance of pardon either. If he gets anything less than 25 years, I'm going to start finger painting with, further. That's what I'm going to start doing.
The next question. Listen to this one. It's a twofold question, Frank. It's twofold. Did the Trump campaign report any of its Russian contacts to the FBI? They didn't know that they were making contact with Russians. And they weren't Russians. They weren't even Russians. These were Western intelligence assets. Yep. My God. Oh, somebody help me.
Yep.
I'm finger painting right now. And then the next question, the follow-up to this is, not even the indications from the Russian government that it could assist the campaign through the anonymous release of information damaging to candidate Clinton? First of all, Papadopoulos never told the campaign about that, ever, which is clearly stated in the report. What did this man read? What is he doing? Rhetorical question. Now, the next section, do you have anything to add on that?
No.
Okay. The next section has to do with everybody's favorite crime, non-crime, obstruction of justice.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you are ready for this, Frank, but
I'm
maybe
not.
Buckle yourself in.
It's not going to help. This is going to destroy me.
Okay. Well, I don't want to do that, but we're going to get into it. Because if you remember, James Comey is the one who told President Trump that he wasn't under investigation.
Oh boy.
So how do you obstruct an investigation you don't know is happening?
I don't
know. Did you?
And furthermore, the more obvious question that everybody's been asking, how do you obstruct, or why? Why would you feel compelled to obstruct an investigation that, after all of the resources and manpower it had under its umbrella, after all the time it was given, could not come up with anything?
Literally.
Anything.
Frank, before we get into the obstruction questions, to your point, we have the emoluments lawsuits, all of them falling apart at the seams, being dismissed with prejudice, unable to be brought back up again ever. Judges reprimanding judges in lower courts saying, what the hell is wrong with you people? Stop it. Stop weaponizing our justice system against people you don't like. Right. We had the campaign finance violation case that Michael Cohen pled guilty to in a political stunt out of the SDNY, fall to garbage, close with no indictments, no criminal wrongdoing by anyone in the Trump organization. And everybody, I've seen these people melting down. How is he getting away with this? And I'm like, you've got some of the most activist prosecutors in the country going after this man right now, trying to find anything to make him look bad. And they cannot find a thing. How frustrating it must be for them. They can't find a thing.
Yeah.
It's this man is the most vetted, investigated, picked apart person ever to exist in this country.
Love him or hate him.
I mean, for real, he has been, his life, his finances, his business deals, everything picked apart like a fine, with a fine tooth comb in looking for a needle in a hay. I mean, any step outside of the colored box would have caused a firestorm of charges to come raining down. And they have nothing. Imagine that. Imagine it. It's just amazing.
You don't have to imagine it. It's right in front of our faces.
Well, I mean, shut up. You know what I'm saying.
Imagine that.
Okay, obstruction questions. Did you reach a judgment as to whether the president had committed obstruction of justice crimes?
Did you?
Well, Frank, the whole controversy over part two was that he said he didn't. Why is he asking this question?
Because Robert Mueller probably has a non-answer ready to go. To be honest, much of this, because everything that all the work that needed to be done is already on the record. If these actually were given answers, if some of these Democratic Congress people are going to pick up any of these questions from Jim Comey and throw it on out there to Robert Mueller, all of these questions are going to elicit very, very vague answers, because there's nothing. Everything is already on the record already.
They held Barr in criminal contempt again. And you know, a lot of people are starting to say, like, is this just going to mean that Barr is going to have to release the stuff that, you know, just to kind of combat against this? Because obviously the postponement happened because Mueller didn't want to, it was a Cohen deal. Remember Cohen communicated with Adam Schiff and they got their ducks in a row and they talked all about everything and they like slandered Felix Sater as a Russian mobster and then had him in for a closed door hearing instead of an open door hearing because they didn't want it to come out that he was actually an intelligence asset and you know, all this nonsense. It's a show. And you know, I know that what's going to happen, it's going to be a procedural, you know, go back and forth. Wednesday is the hearing. And of course, we're going to be doing the show Wednesday. So I'm going to be live tweeting out the hearing, like starting after the show. But it's good. It's just so silly. I can't wait to see what the Republicans ask. Next question. Did you find substantial evidence that the president had committed obstruction of justice crimes? These are just ridiculous. I don't even think we need to talk about that one. It follows in the same vein as the first one. Oh, there's a for example, Frank. For example, did you find that the president directed the White House counsel to call the acting attorney general and tell him that the special counsel must be removed?
My God. Back to that again.
Yeah, go for it, because I know you were super passionate about this one.
Back to that again. It's just like you're talking about trying to classify, thinking about doing something that is completely within the president's legal abilities as a crime. Thinking, considering. I mean, even if whether you can confirm that he was thinking about it or mulling over the possibilities or not, you're talking about that thought process being an obstruction of justice when the act itself is legal for a president to do.
Yeah, not only that, but it's completely that statement is completely. That's not even what happened. That's not even what happened. That didn't happen. The president told what's his name? Not Dowd. The other attorney. What's his name? Damn it. Who was the White House counsel?
Dowd was who was talking with Michael North. Flynn's.
Yeah, exactly.
McGahn.
Yeah,
McGahn. Don McGahn.
Yeah. I'm getting old. Tomorrow is my birthday, and that means that my brain is shot. So McGann was instructed to fix an error and also to talk about conflicts of interest that Mueller may have, because there was a falling out between Robert Mueller and Donald Trump a few years prior over some unpaid bills or something at his country club. So they had like a falling out.
Robert Mueller didn't pay?
Apparently there was some sort of a problem with payment.
It was probably an expiration date or something.
And then there was all kinds of like hubbub that, you know, President Trump was asking McGann to fire the special counsel, which he never did. Did you find that the White House counsel decided he would rather resign than carry out that order? So there was all that conspiracy about whether or not McGann was going to quit and all that noise. Remember?
Yep.
Stupid questions. Did you find that the president later directed the White House counsel to say he had not been ordered to have the special counsel removed? That was the correction of the issue.
It's all go correct this, because people are getting this wrong, please.
Yeah.
And but that then, of course, that's a cover up. That's evidence of the cover up of the thinking about doing something you are legally allowed to do.
It's so bad. One of the things that gets me is like,
Next.
Did you find that the president wanted the White House counsel to write a false memo saying he had not been ordered to have the special counsel removed? Did you find that the White House counsel refused to do that because it was not true? Did you find that the president repeatedly asked a private citizen, his former campaign manager, to deliver a message to the attorney general to restrict the special counsel to investigating only future campaign interference? And then it just ends. That's it.
Well, I mean, that should be enough. That should be enough questions to eat up the entire time. You know, that should be enough time. You're also looking to give him time to just talk and prattle on. That's
the filler words and all that noise and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much what you got is Republicans. We'll see if they have any good questions to ask.
They better.
Is Jim Jordan going to be there?
I believe so. And to be honest with you, if they don't have good questions, we have a problem, because everyone on God's green earth has written their own list. Everyone.
Well, the challenging thing is going to be getting concise, definitive answers out of Robert Mueller when Republicans are asking him questions, because the name of the game, obviously, is eat up the clock. Mueller knows he wants to survive Republican questions, and he wants to indulge vaguely in Democratic questions. That's what's going to happen. So I just hope that the game plan here is specifically worded questions that really don't need a lot of basis. I don't know.
Where would you like him to focus? Like, where would you like the Republicans to focus their questioning? Like, what if there was one topic that you would want him really pinned up to the wall on, what would it be?
I don't know. I guess, is there any way of getting around to figuring out when they actually concluded the investigation? Like, you remember, there was stuff coming out where it was said that the investigation was really wrapped up in 2017. Yep. So I don't know if there's a way of bringing that to the floor or whatever the hell it is to make it look. Then again, you can just go right back to the beginning. I want to talk about hacking. I want to talk you have to go to the beginning. Like, I guess that is the big thing here, where I always bring up the House of Cards analogy and how we tend, because the news cycle directs the conversation from a week to week basis, we tend to be fighting these battles on every level of the House of Cards instead of just concentrating on the base of it. You know, if you kill the mothership, all of the drones die.
Yep.
Can we just get to the origins here and not leave it?
No, that's exactly right. Because if you kill the hacking narrative, the rest of it falls to shreds.
Right.
That's where my number one focus would be, on CrowdStrike, the fact that they didn't, you know, look at those servers. I also had a couple of things I really wanted to know out of Mueller, one of them being, why did you send a firing squad to Roger Stone's house? I really would like to hear him answer that question, just for to have it out there, because it plays into the hacking narrative as well. I also would like to know what the hell happened between the discrepancies between Jim Dowd and John Dowd and Mueller. And,
yes,
you know, you remember, I was re-listening to that this morning, my analysis of Dowd's interview and what he said about Mueller, and then what actually happened with Mueller were like light years, you know, different.
Well, the Dowd exchange between Michael Flynn's attorney was actually the basis for the obstruction claim.
Yes, and they left out a huge portion of it.
Exactly.
They did the same thing with the Papadopoulos port, too.
They wouldn't even have anything to, to suggest. That was really the basis of the big open-ended question and the inference of obstruction. If there was context to that exchange, and if it wasn't selectively edited, then they wouldn't even have anything there to be open-ended with.
Yep. Yep. And the other thing I want to know, too, is I wanted to know what did they think? Like, how did they allow Weissman to continue on the case after his involvement with the dossier before the election, and the fact that he sat and met with the reporters about it and he knew about it and was involved in it before? In addition to that, how did they allow him to continue when he collaborated with the media on the Manafort stuff? How much internal leaking was going on, and was there a process in place to check that out? I want to know how much information they used in their special counsel investigation that came from the Crossfire Hurricane investigation before it. I want to know how many times he met with Rod Rosenstein on Scope. There are all these little things that I really would like to know. I would like to know, there was another question that I had on the top of my head. I just don't remember it right now. But I had a bunch of them. I had a bunch of them that I wanted to learn more about, focused mainly on that DNC server, because that is the foundation of everything. Or how do you respond, Robert Mueller, to the fact that courts are now basically destroying your assertion that the IRA is tied to the Kremlin?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that change everything?
Oh, yeah. Everything changes everything. When everything is made up,
yeah,
and shot and framed from favorable angles and favorable lights, where if you just turn the angle a millimeter, the entire story changes.
It's like that one of those pictures, right, where you have to bend it and turn it so that it looks good. So it looks like a bunch of lines on the screen, but then as you turn it, it comes into focus. And if you turn it just a little bit, it changes.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. Distortion.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think he's if he had 5-minute rounds here, there's no chance for anything but talking points to be reinforced. So it's really a Democrat attempt to hijack the narrative. They're not going to be able to do this. They are losing on every front right now. I don't understand why they think that this will be beneficial. And it kind of bothers me that they do. The Cohen hearing backfired on them in spectacular fashion. Spectacular fashion.
And they want you to forget about it. But Tracy, you don't understand why they bother. If they hadn't won the House, they would have had nothing but play in the media. And at that point, there's nothing there. I mean, now they're having these hearings. They can call the hearings. They're the majority in these committees here. I mean, that's just really all it is. That's why I've losing the House sucked.
Yeah, it did. I really hope that what we talked about the other day happens, and that, like, you know, the 2020 election just resets everything. Oh, yep. God. All right. Well, the next thing I had on tap here to talk about, because we'll definitely be hitting Mueller again on Wednesday, given whatever happens. The next thing I have on tap here is Cheryl Atkinson, one of my favorite reporters. I love her. She's beautiful and smart, and she's just great. She has, this is gross. She has an article out today, and it's really, really good. It's called 81 Media Mistakes in the Trump Era, the Definitive List. And it's a list of 81 notable mistakes and missteps in major media reporting on Donald Trump. And it goes in a timeline form. I'm going to actually, let me just send you this link so that you can peruse through it and see if anything jumps out at you. But there's quite a telling bit of misinformation here. and it's never correct. Like, you know, when it's corrected, it doesn't receive the same, it doesn't receive the same attention. And it proves the propaganda that's being, you know, perpetrated every day. It's crazy.
Did you send it?
Oh, yeah, it's here. There you go.
All right, let's see.
It starts off in 2016, and the first one she puts in here is that the Post published modeling photos of Trump's wife, Melania, and reported they were taken in 95. And then those other news outlets relied on that date to imply that she had violated her visa, but the media got the date wrong.
I don't even remember that.
So apparently, Frank, it's only bad when a person like Melania Trump violates their visa, but immigrants can flood in through the southern border, and we're out of our minds for possibly suggesting that they do it the legal way.
Insane.
Another there was the Frank Sinatra song, and Nancy Sinatra saying, actually, no, I'm fine with him using it. Why are you lying? Remember that?
Yes, I do. It's in here.
Yeah, that's in there. It's down a little bit further. There is, oh, it's number six.
Oh, there she is.
Yeah, CNN claimed Nancy Sinatra was not happy that her father's song was being used at the inauguration. Sinatra responded, that's not true. I never said that. Why do you lie, CNN? I'm wishing him the best. The removal of the Martin Luther King Jr. bust from the Oval Office.
Yep.
Josh Rogan saying that the entire senior administrative team had resigned in protest of Trump.
This is a great list.
It's fantastic.
We needed this list.
Oh, we did.
81.
Yeah.
81 knee-jerk reactions to get on out there because you are hoping as a completely biased member of the media that you can impact and hurt the president instead of covering the president. You wanted to be and define the presidency instead of just covering the presidency. This is insane.
It is insane.
The list is this long.
I think it's purposeful. I don't even think it's mistakes.
Of course it's purposeful. There's no two ways about it.
The waterboarding from Haspel, number 15. ProPublica's Raymond Bonner reported that Gina Haspel was in charge of a secret CIA prison where extremist terrorist Abu Zubaydah was waterboarded 83 times, and she mocked him. That's ended up being completely false. She did not take charge of the base until after that. The firing of Jim Comey, that was debunked by McCabe and Comey.
What number was that?
17. It says multiple outlets, including Politico, The Time, New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, AP, Reuters, and The Wall Street Journal, reported that the same leaked information that Trump fired FBI Director Comey shortly after Comey requested additional resources to investigate Russian interference in the election. And then it goes through what happened. And then the Justice Department, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, and Acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe said the media reports were untrue. And McCabe added that the Russia investigation was adequately resourced.
Yep. Oh, that was also that quote. And I remember that hearing. I had that soundbite as well of McCabe using that phrase, adequately resourced. That was the easiest way to shut anybody up at first, because of course there's no shutting anybody up, but that was the easiest way of telling people, so wait a second, there no obstruction of justice. First of all, there was never at any point in this process a delay to anything. There was no delay to anything. And Andrew McCabe even said that even a firing as significant as the FBI director himself did not delay what was going on. They were adequately resourced, and there was no skipping a beat.
It was when they were trying to defend the entire thing, so they had to come out and say that.
Yeah, but but it's on the record.
Crazy. There's more. There's my goodness. There were so many of them on here. ABC News's Brian Ross reported that former Trump official General Michael Flynn was going to testify that candidate Trump had directed him to contact the Russians.
Oh yeah,
that was the Joy Behar, right?
Yeah, that's when she wet her panties.
Say that word.
She made her panties moist on the air when she heard that. That's when one of the production assistants on The View came running out with a cue card with a little bit of an update for her, and she threw it in the air like it was New Year's Eve. What a dumb crow.
Yay! We have foreign governments interfering in our elections.
Yay! This is fantastic. Ugh. You dumb crow.
Gosh. Gosh. Let's see. Hold on. Let's see here. Chris Saliza declared that Trump lied when he stated Trump Tower had been wiretapped. At least two Trump associates who had offices or frequented Trump Tower were actually also reportedly wiretapped in addition to Trump. There's so many. Maggie Haberman made a mistake. Let's go down to the bottom because I didn't get all the way down there because this is obviously 81 things that they screwed up on. 81 in just 3 years. 81 big stories. These aren't small.
No. The small ones are. I'd have to imagine the shithole comments are in here. But then again, he may have used the word. I don't know.
Well, there's that. There's also the bad hombres is in here. There's the MS-13, I believe, is in here, where he called them animals and they took out MS-13. This is the newest one. It's July 21st. It's from yesterday. And we're obviously leading into here is the go back where you came from. OK, that's why I picked this piece to do now. But July 21st, 2019, an MSNBC contributor and law professor falsely tweets that Fox is not going to show upcoming congressional testimony by former special counsel Robert Mueller on the Trump-Russia investigation. When the evidence is pointed out, when the error is pointed out, the contributor says she was just kidding and deletes her tweet, but not before it had been liked and retweeted thousands of times. It was liked 28,000 times and retweeted 9,400 times. Just kidding.
JK, LOL. Number 71 is pretty interesting there, too. Various dates of other faked hate crimes and hoax attacks like Jussie Smollett. Fakehatecrimes.org is a great reference for people out there who want to see the way that hate crimes have been reported in a major, major upswing ever since November 2016. Why? Because it doesn't matter whether or not they come to fruition or not, they see their day in court or not. The fact that the FBI pretty much just logs how many complaints were filed. That provides statistics to say hate crimes are on the rise because they're being reported more because of people like this.
Yeah, well, and also like this woman yesterday. What was her name again? This Georgia
Erica.
It was Erica.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking for it because I mean this is how consequential this woman is to me. Erica Thomas.
Okay.
Erica Thomas. I saw this come out while I was traveling. And I'm sure that everybody knows what happened, but we're going to talk about it anyway because it infuriated me. It infuriated me for a minute, and then I laughed. I laughed and laughed because Erica Thomas. Do you hear the story? I'm sure you've heard this story. There's no way.
No. I've just seen it trending.
Oh my gosh! I'm so excited. Now I get to tell you. Erica Thomas was at Publix in Georgia with her daughter, and she's pregnant, and her husband is overseas. He's in the military. And apparently she got on Facebook and did a Facebook Live about how horrible her experience was just then. I'm going to play a quote, a clip for you real quick of it so that you can hear it because Terrence Williams got it, the beginning of it. Here we go. Here we go. This is just a little clip of her. I'm a little bit disheveled right now. Don't mind the microphone. I'm not in my home base. Okay. Play. Come on. Our audience hates us today, or at least me. Here we go.
I'm at the grocery store and I'm in the 10 aisle, the aisle that says 10 items or less. Yes, I have 15 items, but I'm 9 months pregnant and I can't stand up for long. And this white man comes up to me and says, "You lazy son of a bitch." He says, "You lazy son of a bitch. You need to go back where you came from."
Okay.
Now,
okay. Go ahead.
So that comes out. It goes viral, of course, everybody. Oh, Trump is causing all this to happen. Now, first of all, let's pretend that people are going around telling people to go back where they came from. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
Why would they... It doesn't make any sense at all for them to say that to an African American person.
Yeah.
It makes literally no sense.
And who's this woman again? Does she have some kind of...
She's a representative in Georgia.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay. So then she's trying hard to connect dots for people. That's just pretty much it, because, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Omar and Goomba Face and then the other tag along from Massachusetts, it's not about their gender or their race or their country of origin or their religion. It's the fact that they're commies. Who should leave the country and go fiddle with their ideology elsewhere too?
Commies?
Bernie Sanders.
Oh my gosh, we'll get to him hopefully.
Here's an old droopy white man who is exactly the same as the three beautifully colored commie women. It's all about communism, not your race or your sex. And I guess this woman Erica was just really trying to connect dots and try to smooth things over, because there is a disparity. And I think that most people see that this is these four women are not oppressed. They're actually just bratty commies.
You know what's funny is that you don't know the rest of the story yet.
Oh, great. Let's go.
So that video comes out and it goes viral, and the media wants to interview Erica at the Publix where she first made her appearance. And everybody's tweeting about how horrible it is that Trump has caused this divisive. You know the story. She gets there, and who shows up? The gentleman who attacked her online. He's not white. He's actually a Cuban American and is also a Democrat. He's an immigrant. He shows up there, and they have an altercation on camera. And the gentleman denies that he even ever said, go back to your country.
Of course.
He's like, I never said that. I told you were a lazy blank expletive because you were in the 10 item or less lane with 15 items or however many items you had. And it's not, you're not supposed to be in that lane when everyone else there is. You know what I mean? It's just, that's the rudest shit in the world. So he had no idea who she was. He was just like, dude, why are you in this lane with like your cart full of crap just because you feel like you're entitled to stand in the express checkout lane with way too many items? That would annoy me too.
And then the emotionally unbalanced lunatic went and cried in front of a camera and made up a racist white man narrative.
Yes.
She knew that she knew it was going to bring some attention to her. She can help out her party.
Yep.
She can do her part. These are cultists. These are lemmings. Oh my God.
So she gets called out because the guy's like, is there surveillance footage? Which there is. And just wait, here we go. Let's listen to the rest, because this, the next, like, it's going to be a little more of her crying. And then the next clip after that is going to be her being interviewed after the guy who realizes what happened and says, no. He actually said, like, I'm a Democrat. I'll vote Democrat the rest of my life. But this woman right here is using me for political purposes. And this is disgusting. She never expected to see that man ever again.
Nope.
He marched right back up to that Publix.
is there any kind of like footage where I can see her face drop? Like, is she actually caught on camera having this realization?
Yes.
That she's caught?
Yeah.
Oh,
listen,
can you please send me the link? I need to see her face.
Absolutely. You're going to cover it on tonight's show. I know you will. Hold on one second.
BCP's on tonight.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Black conservative patriots come on the show tonight, so this might be great, because know what else I have to show them? Did you ever see that the footage from 2016, Marianne Williamson? She's inside of a church, and she's doing her crazy ranting nonsense, her spiritual new age bullshit, and she at one point asks all of the African Americans in the room who want to participate in a healing session stand up. And then all of the white Americans in the room to stand up and to place their hands on the African-American people and then repeat after her. And she goes through this long, drawn out apology for being white and for being part of the system that oppresses them.
God.
And it is gross. This is what is living underneath these people, under the surface. They're messed up. This is really sick stuff. I got to see the face drop.
I'm going to show you, but this is like a little Terrence Williams clip he put together. Let's listen to the rest of this here.
Okay.
said, go back, you know, those types of words. I don't want to say, he said, go back to your country or go back to where he came from, but he was making those types of references is what I remember.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I don't want to say he said, go back to your country or go back to where you came from, but he was making references like that.
Yeah, he was looking at me in a very go back to your country kind of way.
Meanwhile, you know? She just cried her eyes out about go back to your country. Just not even 24 hours prior.
Yeah, hashtag me too. And then everybody on the bus got up and clapped.
They're actually talking about, she's talking about suing this guy.
Right. Well, look, any footage of the guy? And
There's a news report where it all happened live on camera. Like, they were just filming and it happened. This is like a completely organic, I'm going to find it. I'll send it to you. It's like, you know, it was like organic thing.
I'll tell you, Tracy, I was born in 1985. My town in particular is now 70% second and third generation Hispanics, Hispanic Americans, and many are undocumented because, you know, my town has actually refused in the last 2 years has refused federal funding. Can you imagine that? Who refuses free money these days? My town has refused federal funding because it means it would have meant that they have to coordinate and cooperate with ICE and immigration services. And part of that federal funding was to help bolster the police force, because now we are a town of like officially 32,000 people who are now well over 60,000. And wow. Seriously, it's one of those places. When I was growing up, though, it was not nearly nothing like this. I had Spanish friends. Some of my best friends, my first friends, are Colombian and Peruvian and all that stuff. Never thought about it. But when I growing up, especially where I am, America to me was always black people and white people. And yeah, there are Spanish people out there, and there's, you know, Chinese, Asian, you see them. But my experience was it was always black and white. Whenever I looked at a black person, I never thought, go back to where you came from.
Yeah.
This is their home. This is just how I grew up, I guess. But now they're trying to see this in 2019, where we know that historical revisionism is part of the game plan. But to go into this depth, to go to these depths now and try, is unbelievable. Because they have to, I guess they have to relate. They have to relate to the immigrant. African Americans, by and large, are not immigrants.
It doesn't make any sense. That's why I said that. Like, I think for most people, they're in the same boat as you. Like, you just automatically think it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why would she even do that?
Game plan. Game plan changed.
I mean, all right. What I wanted to talk about, because you mentioned him just to close out the show today, is Bernie Sanders and his $15 minimum wage problem he's got going on in his campaign. Have you seen?
What's the problem?
Oh.
What's the problem with $15 minimum wage?
Well, his campaign staffers weren't being paid $15 an hour, and so they demanded $15 an hour. And Bernie Sanders said, well, I can't pay you $15 an hour. I don't have that kind of money. And then he said, okay, I'll pay you all $15 an hour, but all of you are having your hours cut.
Oh, no! Thank you, Bernie! Thank you, Bern! Oh, jeez. Pay attention, kids. Pay attention, kids.
It couldn't get better than that.
Oh, pay attention, kiddies.
Could not get better than that.
If you want your 4-day work week, then ask for $15 an hour, because you're going to be working one less day. You're going to be making the same amount, but you'll have your 4-day work week.
I just think it's hysterical that his campaign demonstrated why a federal minimum wage at that level is ridiculous. The minimum wage was instituted to help young people get into the workforce and be paid at a fair wage. It wasn't meant for adults to be working their careers at minimum wage. You know what I mean? It's being misused. There should be a cost of living wage, like where $15 in like rural, you know, Arkansas may not be, maybe like $30 to some people. You know what I mean? Yeah. It needs to be, if they're going to do a minimum wage, like you can't pay your workers less than this. I just don't understand. Like, I am honestly a firm believer that people will be like, I'm not working for $2 an hour. Get out of here.
Right.
And just not work at places like that. And therefore, the salary would be competitive to what your skill set is, which is kind of the way it's supposed to work in a free market.
Well, honestly, Tracy, this is why I believe less and less in a minimum wage.
Me too.
You're talking about younger people like 12, 13-year-old kids that want to have their first summer job and stuff like that. They should be working for $5 an hour, $8 an hour, whatever. Just get something under your belt, something.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these, any business that is worth its weight, that has a service or something that they're selling, especially if it is service related and they need good people to interface with customers and all that, you're not going to attract
the right people. Yeah, at $15 an hour.
You're going to attract the right people at 15, or the people who are worth $15 an hour are going to get $15 an hour. I don't know.
It's nature. It's just nature.
I know that it's hard. It's hard to sell that to people living in, you know, cities and stuff like that. But you want to know something? The cost of cities is getting worse and worse because of regulation as well. And what is minimum wage if not regulation of the marketplace? It's another regulation.
Amen. I am totally with you. And yeah, there's a lot of things that would need to be fixed before you could wipe out the minimum wage. You know, that nobody's just there because there's so many controls elsewhere. And, you know, people would argue, well, I couldn't get a good education because I lived in a bad neighborhood. But it's all boils down to government intervention. All of it. It really does. I'm just saying it, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Listen, you never know these days.
Nope. You don't. You just never know.
Real quick before I go or before we go, I feel like I'm on the phone with you and we're just talking to each other.
She's going to leave now. She's leaving.
Bye. No. There was a picture floating around of Ruth Bader Ginsburg from yesterday or the day before. I don't know if you saw it, but a couple of friends of mine have pointed it out. And I'm not one of those people that is like convinced that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is like
dead. I am.
You think she's dead?
Let me tell you. Okay, go finish what you're saying.
All right, quickly. There's a picture of her that came out yesterday, and she just looks like she's like 50 years younger in this picture. And not for nothing, but whoever did it either photoshopped really horribly, or I don't know what happened here. Because if you look at the photo, first of all, the left arm or the right arm of her glasses is completely missing from her glass frame. It's not even there. And there is a set of verticals behind her in the photo that are incorrectly photoshopped into the lens of her glasses on her right side or left side. I'm sorry.
I think that powers that be. Now, remember, I have absolutely no proof for what I'm about to say. Okay.
I love when you say that.
I have no proof. With that being said, everything I'm about to say is the truth.
Okay.
All right. So I think that there is more than enough capability of finding a stand-in for this woman. First of all, if you put a wig on Larry King, it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Okay. So I think that stand-ins and lookalikes, I think it's very, very easy to do, especially if she's making limited appearances around her colleagues. It just would not be easy. I mean, it would not be hard, I should say. Very limited. She's anywhere.
How long are they going to keep the ruse going for if that's the case?
This is what I'm getting to, though. I think that Fox, think about the Fox News flub saying that she died earlier in the year, 1933 to 2019, that flub that it went up there, it was already ready made, all that. I bet you any money it was a falsely triggered thing. It was ready to go. It was there. And then all of a sudden, stop this madness. I don't know what the hell it is, but they were ready to go. I bet you any money that sometime after Thanksgiving, if they announce that she was dead, that she died, then we know that it was a fake the whole time.
Wow.
Because if it's after Thanksgiving, then you have to imagine that Chuck Schumer is going to put his foot down and say, no, we are within 1 year of a presidential election. We are within 1 year of a presidential election, and we have rules, Mr. President. I bet you if she dies or is announced dead just after the November mark, I will stand by my theory that she has been dead since February. Because
interesting.
It's all about that 1 year mark for me, I think.
Look, like the Merrick Garland, right? That's what you're, I mean, it's, yep, I get you. Yeah.
And at which time I think that they should be, the Democrats should be completely ignored and they should go forward and nominate and confirm somebody anyway.
I'm with you on that. Very interesting.
They do not play. Listen, I'm about to do a segment on my show soon about the Sylvester Stallone movie Cobra again, about good guys who have to be able to know when it's time to break the rules. You are not playing against a group of people who even acknowledge rules. Confirm somebody. If you get the chance, confirm it, even if it's 3 months before Election Day.
I'm with you. Who gives a crap about these crying, petulant little babies?
They're not even babies. They are very dangerous people. Babies aren't dangerous.
No, you're right. You're right. Well, we're going to mark this down on the calendar, July 22nd, 2019. And we'll see what happens in November.
Yeah, we'll see.
You guys have been listening to the Dark Delight podcast with
No More Heatwave Val.
And I'm a New York Beans. You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and on radioinfluence.com. We will see you Wednesday.
Later.
This is a crush performance with Jeff Crichel Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
When we talk about our athlete development, and this sets up the show for today, again, one of the things we're going to be tackling here some of the questions, I guess, information and feedback I've gotten recently on the show is people are missing the crush war on sugar. And it's not that we're ignoring it. We are researching it feverishly. But there's some incredibly new research coming out on how the body works. And honestly, I'm so enamored with this. The next War on Sugar episode that we do, I want it to be about this. Because I think this is really going to change how we all think about not just athlete performance and long-term development, but our health in general. Oh, man. If we were to measure the two most precious commodities on the planet, the two most precious commodities to you, what would you say? Just think about this. If I were to ask you right now, answer this question for me. What are the two most precious things you control right now? We contemplated this question with our athletes at every single level. And when we come to it, when we break it down and come to the final solution of this, when we break down all the lists and all the ideas, our children, our health, our pets, our finances, you know, our performance, our health, most certainly, time. Yes, your health and time are the two most precious commodities that we have control of.
Crush Performance with Jeff Crichel can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.